verse 29 of Numbers chapter 10, we read there that Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." Late on in World War II, American bombers were sent into hostile Europe. Their mission was simple. It was to stop and to thwart the Nazi oil supplies. As they were travelling over hostile European soil, hundreds of American aeroplanes were unfortunately gunned down by the Nazis. As they were crashing, airmen obviously abandoned their planes and they eventually parachuted down to the ground. As they were parachuting, they were travelling over the land of Yugoslavia. And of course, as they were travelling over this territory, well, they simply expected to land and to be captured, to be tried, and perhaps even to die. However, there was a remarkable rescue team in place ready to intercept these falling airmen, because we find that in that story there were Serbian peasants. They had tracked the path of these crashing planes. And so they made it their mission, their aim, to intercept these American airmen and to then lead them to safe ground. It became known as Operation Haylard. And the airmen, whenever they were down, we find that these Serbian peasants, they took them by the hand. They traveled for weeks on end, and eventually they led them to a neutral area where the Americans were eventually rescued. And here in Numbers chapter 10, we find Moses on a similar search and rescue mission. For here we have him grabbing a man named Hobab, and he grabs him by the hand, and he says in verse 29, "Come thou with us, we are journeying to the place of which the Lord had said, I will give you." They were currently in Camp Sinai, they were in Mount Sinai. They had been there for approximately 1 year. However, the cloud, the pillar of fire that was hovering over the tabernacle, it was beginning to move. It was beginning to take them into the wilderness. It was beginning to take them on a little further in the journey towards Canaan. And in seeing that the Lord was beginning to move and move them geographically and move their location, Moses, he grabs the opportunity. As he knows they're going to the promised land, as he knows they're going to Canaan, he comes to Hobab and he says, "Come with us. Come with us to the promised land." Who was this man, Hobab? Well, there has been much debate amongst Bible commentators as to who he was. Some believe he was the father-in-law of Moses, who of course was also called Jethro. But in verse 29, if you read the verse carefully, we read, "Hobab, the son of Reguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law." Read it carefully. He was the son of Moses' father-in-law. He was the son of a man. He was the son of a man named Raguel. When you go into chapter 2 of Numbers, you discover that Moses' father-in-law Jethro, he also had a different name. He was named Reuel or Raguel. And so this man, Hobab, he was the son of Jethro. He was the son of Moses' father-in-law. And so who was he? Well, he was actually the brother of Zipporah, Moses' wife. He was Moses' brother-in-law. And here we find this Midianite, he had come into contact with the people of God. And earlier his father Jethro, he had returned to Midian, he had returned home. But Hobab stayed with the people of God. And Moses, knowing this, he reaches out his hand and he says to his brother-in-law, "Come with us. Come thou with us. Come to the promised land. Don't go back to your former life. Don't go back to Midian. Don't follow your pagan father. But come with us. Come to the promised land of Canaan. And like Moses this evening, I issue to you a similar invitation. You who are on the side of Jesus Christ, I would spiritually speaking grab you by the hand and say, come thou with us." The Lord's people here this evening would take you by the hand and would say, come thou with us. We're journeying to a better land. We're journeying to Canaan. I myself one day will enter into heaven. And like we were singing this evening, we don't want you lost and alone. We want you to come with us. And so we say, like Moses said to his brother-in-law, come thou with us. Perhaps you're in the meeting and you're like Hobab. You feel as if you're an outsider, a stranger to the grace of God. And you feel almost as if the Lord's people, there's something about them, there's something different. And you know you don't have that. And perhaps you feel that you couldn't come. Well, just like Moses said, so I would say to you again this evening, come with us. Come with us. Come and journey to heaven. Because we don't want you. We don't want you to be lost. We don't want you to be alone. We don't want you to perish. But rather we want you to come with us. We want you over there. And so this evening I just want to very simply consider this invitation that Moses gave to Hobab to come thou with us. Moses' invitation to Hobab. I would say firstly here the peril of Hobab. His peril. Verse 29 we read, Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. Hobab was not an Israelite. Hobab was actually a Midianite. We can deduce this from the wording in verse 29. We read, he was the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. Of course, his father was well known. He was a Midianite priest. His father was Jethro. And we can deduce from this that if Jethro was a Midianite, that he was a Midianite as well. Therefore, he was an outsider. He was a stranger to the covenant people of God. In actual fact, the Midianites were ancient enemies of the Lord's people. You think of the book of Judges. Think of Gideon and his 300 strong men army as they were battling the enemies of the Lord's people. As they were in Canaan. Who were they battling against? They were battling against the Midianites. They were actually a very idolatrous people. In Numbers 31 we read of the Lord being unable to even tolerate their sin. It was so grievous, so wicked before his presence. The Lord came to Moses. He stirred him up. He said, Moses, gather yourself together. Go and battle against the Midianites. Their sin is so great. Their sin is so heinous before my presence. In that battle, the children of Israel slew their kings. The children of Israel took the food of the Midianites. They completely slaughtered the people. They burned their castles to the ground. They even slew their warriors and their male children. And as such, this placed Hobab in great peril. Because if he spurned Moses' invitation to come thou with us and go back to Midian, he would have been in this battle. He would have been in the battle of Numbers 31. And there was not a warrior that survived that battle. Not a Midianite warrior. And so if I emphasize this again, if Hobab did not respond positively to this invitation to go to Canaan, to press in with the Lord's people, he would have been in a battle, and he would surely have been slaughtered in that battle. And so this invitation was actually to escape a future punishment. And responding to the invitation is not insignificant. It is of grievous importance. What you do with the invitation of the gospel will affect your eternal destiny. Tonight the invitation is simple. It's come with us. Come to Canaan. Come to the heavenly Canaan. Come to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Come to heaven. Come to Emmanuel's land. But I warn you that if you do not respond positively to this invitation, then you too, you will be slaughtered. And we say that with all of the love that we can muster in our hearts. Just as Hobab was heading for ruin if he didn't respond to the invitation, so you too, you will be under the sword of God's justice. Now the interesting thing about this invitation from Moses to Hobab was that although he didn't realize it at the time, but events pass in this chapter, and we discover that Hobab only actually had a matter of hours to respond. In verse 33 of this chapter, we read, "They departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them." Because at this time, Moses and the children of Israel had been there in Mount Sinai for now approximately a year. And the cloud which led the people of God, the cloud which hovered over the tabernacle, it moved on. It moved on in just a matter of hours. The people were gathering themselves together. They were getting ready to move on. And eventually they went to the wilderness of Paran. And so though Hobab didn't know it, he only had a limited amount of time to respond. If he didn't respond positively, then opportunity would have been missed. The Lord's people would have went on. The cloud would have went on. And he would not have been with them. He would then have went back to Midian and eventually been slaughtered in the battle. And with receiving the invitation, time for response is not limitless, but limited. Soon opportunity may disappear. Oh, tonight as the cloud moved on very quickly after Moses issued the invitation, so this evening opportunity may be very quickly passing for you. You think of the wind or the cloud of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God could be very, very poignantly pressing it upon your heart and mind to come to Christ, to come thou with us and journey to Canaan. But tomorrow the Spirit may depart. You think of those fateful words, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, that my Spirit shall not always strive with man. And tonight the Lord may be dealing with you, but tomorrow he may depart. There is the opportunity of the Spirit of God, but there is the opportunity even of the passing on of time. No man knows what a day may bring forth. And so opportunity to you is limited because you don't know. You don't know when God's opportunity will shut, when the cloud of God's opportunity will pass on, and there will be no more opportunity to respond to the invitation. You know, in Italy, a prince was very famous for his forbearing spirit. He often forgave one particular servant. But one day this servant came to the presence of the king and he was wearing a hat. Of course, you were not to have your head covered when coming before the Italian king. And so this man wearing a hat, the king, he asked him why. The servant said, "Oh, prince, I've got a cold." The prince, tiring of this man, he said, "I will take care of you. I will ensure you never get a cold again." He commanded servants to take him from his presence and nail the hat to his head. And although the invitation may be frequent, it is not forever. Eventually, opportunity and invitations will disappear. Oh, what great peril Hobab was in. He didn't even realize it. Didn't even realize that soon the cloud would take its leave. Soon the cloud would move on. Soon the cloud of opportunity, the cloud of direction, it would lead on the people of God into the wilderness. And if he didn't respond, he would have to go back to Midian and enter into a future slaughter. The peril of Hobab, but I want you to see secondly here the promise to Hobab. Verse 29, we read, "Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the palace of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." Moses said to Hobab, "Come thou with us, and we'll do thee good." You see what he's doing here? He's inviting him firstly to join him, and then he seeks to persuade him why he should join him. He seeks to give him reasons as to why he should come with the people of God and go on the journey to Canaan. He said, "Look, if you come, we're going to a place that God has promised us." He said there, verse 29, "We're journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you." He was speaking, of course, here of Canaan, of the promised land, the land which had been promised way back to Abraham, the forefather of the Jews. And he also gave them a wonderful promise that they would not only enter into that land, but the Lord would do them good as they would journey. Yes, he would take them through the wilderness. And of course, you know the fact the Lord's people spent 40 years wandering around the wilderness before they entered Canaan. But the promise was this, that although they would go through 40 years of wilderness wandering, the Lord would do them good. In other words, he would show them favor. That God's favor, that God's promises, that his presence would be with them as they journeyed. Yes, the road would be hard. Going through the wilderness for 40 years, it would be difficult. But ultimately, what did Moses do? What did he set before Hobab? Well, he set before Hobab a promised place and also the promise that God would see him to that place, though the way would be rough and tough and difficult. And whilst the Lord promises the place of heaven, he also controls the path to heaven. The Lord will do thee good. Tonight, if you respond positively to the invitation and you go through life, yes, it'll be like the wilderness. There'll be difficulties. The Christian faces difficulties. There are persecutions. There are afflictions. There are trials. There are tribulations. But if you're in amongst the people of God and you're a part of the covenant people of God, the Lord has promised that no matter what would befall you, he would do you good. His favor would be upon you, and he promises that you will eventually enter into Canaan. Yes, you'll go through the wilderness like the Lord's people, but you'll know God's favor in getting there. And so there was this dual promise, the promise of a place, but the promise of a path as well to that place. So there's this dual promise given in the Old Testament, but is also repeated in the New. You think of Paul's words to young Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy is all about how Paul, an old, war-worn saint, comes alongside and encourages a young, discouraged pastor. And in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, we read in verse 8, Paul's now coming towards the end of the journey, and he says, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." He said, look, heaven's laid up for me and the reward of heaven is laid up for me. So he spoke about a place that was promised to him. But if you read in the previous chapter of 2 Timothy, he then spoke about the path to this place. Chapter 3, verse 11, writing to Timothy, he said, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but listen to this, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Paul was nearly stoned to death. There were individuals who came to Paul and had to actually check that at one stage he was alive. And he's referring to this incident in this verse. Paul went through tremendous afflictions. You only have to read through the book of Acts, the missionary journeys, to see that. And so you find that Paul, as he writes to young Timothy to encourage him, what does he say? He says, "Timothy, there's a place laid up for me, and there was also a path provided for me. Yes, it was hard. Yes, it was difficult. But ultimately, I'm going to receive a crown. And whilst the road to hell is passed with ease, the road to heaven is pilgrimed by effort. It's hard, but it's also with help. Oh, tonight, the road to hell, it's easy. I say this, it's easy to go to hell, to do nothing, to run with the tide and to run with the crowd. Much harder to enter into Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. I know the difficulties that Christians experience. But this is nonetheless the choice that you have to make. And when you make that choice, I have decided to follow Jesus, the Lord says, I'll do you good. And what an encouragement that is, even for you to press into Christ and to come to Christ. Because it means that if you're not saved, the Lord's favor is not upon you in this life, and most certainly not in the next. Through life, yes, you may have activity and you may go about your business. But the Lord's favor is only upon His people. Yes, He gives you common goodnesses. He sends the rain upon the just and the unjust. He gives you common mercies, food, raiment, and so on and so forth. But His favor, His spiritual favor, is not upon you. It is only upon the Lord's people. And yes, the road may be hard, but ultimately there is that place laid up for them, their eternal rest. Just as Canaan was a physical rest, so spiritual Canaan is an eternal rest, laid up for the people of the Lord. Wonder tonight, will you decide? As the invitation is given, and as the invitation is issued, and time is limited, will you decide? Will you say tonight, I'm going to join in with the people of God. I'm going to press on the heavenly highway to the heavenly home, and know God's favor. There was the peril of Hobab, the promise to Hobab. I want to see thirdly here the predicament of Hobab. Verse 30 of Numbers 10, we read, He said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. Hobab was at Camp Sinai. He seems quite content to dwell with the Lord's people. But now the clouds are beginning to gather, and the clouds are going to move very soon. Soon the Lord's people are going to move from Camp Sinai. They've been there for approximately a year. But soon they're going to move, and they're going to enter the difficult wilderness of Paran. And so when Moses issues this invitation to Hobab, verse 29, come thou with us, we will do thee good, and the Lord will do thee good. What does Hobab say in verse 30? At the beginning he says, no, I'm not going to come. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go to my father Jethro. And you could understand why he would say this. The children of Israel were not his people. He was a stranger to them. He was by birth a Midianite. He worshipped another god. He lived another manner of life. Although Zipporah, his sister, was married to Moses, that was the only relative that he would have had in that company. If you read in Exodus 18, you'll discover that Jethro, Hobab's father, he returned to Midian, and he took Hobab's six sisters along with him. So the vast majority of Hobab's family is back in Midian. His sisters are there, his father's there, and only Zipporah, who has her own responsibilities now with Moses, she's here, along with the people of God, amongst the Lord's people. And although he had been given a wonderful promise of a place set before him, and a wonderful promise of the favor of God, there was this tug of war going on in the life and mind of Hobab. The promise of a place, a land flowing with milk and honey, or the tug of home. The tug of going home to my family, and going home to my sisters, and going home to my father-in-law, and more importantly, I believe, going home to his old way of life, worshipping his own gods, living for self and living to do whatever he wanted to do, and he wanted to be the master of his own life. And so there's this tug of war, and he actually says no at the beginning. I'd rather go home. I'd rather have my old life. I don't want to go with the Lord's people to the Lord's place. And when faced with the proposal of Christ, you will often then face the predicament of Christianity, the pull of the old life. So often is this not the case? The invitation is given. Come thou with us. The Lord will do thee good. We'll do thee good. You'll know the favor of God. And you know all of things to be, these things to be true in your heart and in your mind. But there's this war going on. The old life. My family. My friends. My way of doing things. My old companions. My way of thinking, my way of living. And yes, in what some ways it's an offer that is too good to refuse, but the pull of the old life, it comes in and it stops you, doesn't it? Like Hobab, you say, Noah, I'll not accept the invitation just currently. I'd rather have things the way they are at the minute. Christ, he came to an individual. And he said in Luke 9, verse 59, follow me. But we read of that individual returning to Christ and saying, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Christ came and he said, follow me, and he meant immediately. But this man, he was hesitating, he was struggling, he wanted to go back home, and the Lord actually condemned him for doing so. Again, you think of Lot's wife. She is actually on the path to escape. She is leaving Sodom, leaving a city under judgment behind her. But what does she do? She looks back. And as soon as she looks back, the Lord comes in condemnation as she looks back at her family and looks back at her friends and looks back at her old way of living, and the Lord turns her into a pillar of salt. And he gives us that stark reminder in the New Testament, remember Lot's wife. A look back is a look ultimately that banishes. It brings the condemnation of God. One of this evening, you know the offer, you know it too well. Come thou with us and we'll do thee good. But you're looking back. Like Hobab, you're saying, no, what would my family think? I'll be the only Christian in my family. I'll be the only person who wants to follow the Lord. I'll be the only person in my shop floor, the only person in the social events that I attend. I'll be the only Christian there. I know the bliss of Canaan. I know the joy you're setting before me, preacher. But at the moment, just leave me alone. I'd rather have my sin and I'd rather have my family. Oh, tonight, don't make this mistake. But enter into life. Come thou with us. We'll do thee good. Good thing to be amongst the Lord's people, who are a favoured people, and to be under the favour of God. You think of winter time, and think as you come down the Crescent Link Road, and then you come and you want to cross the Foyle Bridge. But when it's windy, there is a barrier that is placed across the bridge, and what's it doing? It's barring you from crossing over. And tonight perhaps there's barriers erected. Barriers of friends, barriers of family. Barriers of social that are social in nature. And they're preventing you from crossing over. Oh, tonight, overcome the obstacle. Say, I'd rather esteem the riches of Christ greater than the reproach of Egypt. Because that's what Moses did. And as we are now going to see, that's what Hobab, his brother-in-law, did as well. Because there was this peril and this promise and this predicament that he faced. But I want you to see lastly here, the partnership of Hobab. Verse 31, Moses is talking to him and he said, leave us not, I pray thee. For as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. At the beginning he said he'd rather go back. Rather go back to Midian, rather go back to his family and to his friends and to his old religion. However, he did eventually go. He made his decision in the nick of time. The cloud moved on, eventually into the wilderness. In verse 33, we read of the ark going before them, 3 days' journey. And we find as well the cloud, it then surrounded the people of God, and they knew the presence of God with them. And how do we know that Hobab went with the people of God? Well, in Judges 4, you read of one of his descendants. An individual named Jael. And what does he do? He slew Sisera, a Canaanite general, as the children of Israel were in Canaan. So his descendants were there. They were in Canaan. And that leads us to Judges, that he went amongst the Lord's people. He was there as well. And what did he know? As he entered into this wonderful family and this wonderful company of people, he knew the ark going before, which is a picture of Jesus Christ. And we haven't time to go into that this evening. But the ark went before them, 3 days' journey into the wilderness. It's a picture of Christ leading his people. The cloud came, the cloud surrounded him. He knew the presence of God and amongst the people of God. And he was also useful. Moses gives his brother-in-law a little task as they're going through the wilderness. He says in verse 31 that he would be to us instead of eyes. What does this mean? Well, when they were going through the wilderness, Hobab would have been familiar with the lie of the land, it seems. He would have known the good, or the hot spots, as it were, for water and for pasture. And so he immediately enters into the company of the Lord. He enters into the wonderful journey through the wilderness into Canaan. And what do we find? He knows the presence of God, the direction of God, and he also knows what it is to serve the Lord immediately. And like Hobab, with conversion, there then comes change. A complete change of life and destiny. Hobab's life was changed. He knew the ark going before him. He knew the presence of the Lord, as illustrated in the cloud of fire. He also knew a change in destiny. He was on the road to Canaan. And his descendants entered into Canaan. Things could have been so different for this man. He could have went back to Midian. Could have said, I'm not going to decide to throw my lot in with the people of God and go back home and ensue a terrible slaughter. But Hobab enters in and casts his lot in with the people of God, and he enters into rest. The question tonight is this: how will you respond to the invitation? As Moses invited his brother-in-law, come thou with us. Tonight you have been issued that invitation. Come with us. We're going by and by to the palace of a king. There are individuals in this meeting and they're saved and they're going. I can say it personally. I am a Christian. I am saved. I am justified. My sins have been forgiven. I'm going to heaven. Come thou with us. Would you not come this evening? Ere you cast your lot in to the old way of life and turn back and experience the terrible condemnation and judgment of God. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. May the Lord write his word upon your heart and life this evening.